Excited about our new year together, and I've been thinking about the verse of the year, what we would be committing ourselves to as a church to concentrate on. It was kind of interesting in our Sunday school class, Adult Bible Fellowship. We still have no idea. I've been here now probably 17 years, and we don't know what to call our Sunday school classes. We call it ABF, or do we call it Sunday school, or do we call it life group meetings? But anyways, in that first hour Bible study, one of the questions that was posed by the teacher in the class I was in, by Bob, said, is there a word of the year or a resolution? And there were different words given that people are kind of committing their year to, kind of concentrating on. And as a church, we have one word that I really want us to focus on and think about what we're going to commit ourselves to. And last year, you can look at our verse of the year, similar to what we did last year. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. And that's where we began. We began with a sermon series in John chapter 15. We looked at the fruit of, the Spirit, the fruit of the vine, and five secrets to living. Do you remember that series? Five secrets to living. Some of you remember that long ago. What is the secret to life? We began last year. You know, we as believers have the secret to life. What is the secret to life? Bearing fruit. The purpose of life, what gives you meaning and joy, according to John 15:11, the things that give you joy is by living according to your purpose. And as believers in Jesus Christ, our purpose is to bear fruit. And when we bear fruit, when we do the work that God has called us to, it gives us meaning and purpose and joy. So this year, very connected to that theme, is from John chapter 17. Here's the big reveal, right? It's very anticlimactic. Are you ready? Some of you might already know. Sanctify them. In fact, we have already printed out, and this before you leave today, I don't know, we'll get these out, but grab one of these for your Bible. It's a bookmark with that theme on there, all right? So this year, we are concentrating on truth. Sanctify them in the truth. One word for the year that I want you to meditate on, and I want us as a church to meditate on this year, is truth. Sanctify, that word sanctified means to set apart. And the believer in Jesus Christ, what sets us apart from the world, what sets us apart from our old lifestyle and from sin, is the truth found in the person of Jesus Christ and in specifically the Word of God. So when we say we are going to be set apart from the world, set apart from our old lifestyle, set apart to God's purpose, so we're set apart from something and we're set apart to something, but for the purpose God has called us to bring glory to the Father and bear much fruit, we are saying that we are going to do this through our commitment to the truth. We have, as believers, truth. Truth. And that truth gives us meaning and purpose and even gives us joy. When I was a child, I spent much of the summer chasing things. Maybe you had this experience. In the morning, when I would get up, I'd go outside, and as a child, I would chase butterflies. I loved to chase butterflies. And I would spend much of my morning chasing butterflies, running, trying to catch that butterfly, and it always seemed just before I could get there, it would flutter away. There are many children's stories about chasing butterflies and how that butterfly leads that child, you know, into the woods and gets it lost. But I spent much of my childhood chasing butterflies. In the morning, I was chasing butterflies. Then I would go in and have lunch, and I would go outside once again, because I love to spend my time outside during the summer, and I would spend the afternoon once again chasing bubbles. I loved bubbles. I don't know why. I mean, it's such a simple thing. But as a kid, I loved to chase bubbles. You know, you blow those bubbles. And you can't. It's not enough just to let them fall to the ground or float off into the abyss. I wanted to catch every single bubble, right? And, you know, I try to catch them. And I found out, maybe you know this. So that if not, I mean, this is a pro tip. This is a masterclass tip. You can use that same bubble maker to catch the bubble, right? That's about the only way it can be done. You can't really catch it in your hand. But I would try to run around with that bubble maker and just try to catch it on the end. And then I'd look at that, maybe blow it again if it didn't pop, and then try to chase and catch that one. Spend my afternoons chasing bubbles. And I'd go back in maybe for dinner, right? And I'd come back outside as it began to get dark. And once again, I'd be chasing something. Anybody guess what I chased in the evening? Yeah, those lightning bugs, fireflies. And I'd spend the evening chasing the, you know, I'd be standing there and all of a sudden a little blink in the distance. And I'd run over there and I'd be looking for that light, maybe waiting for another light to appear. And my goal was to gather as many. I had this dream of catching all these lightning bugs and putting them in a jar. And then maybe I would camp out in the backyard and that would be my lantern. Anybody else have that dream? You all know the end of that dream. Dead lightning bugs have a particular smell. Maybe you can smell that smell right now as you think about that. Lightning bugs in a jar. He said, Pastor, why are you telling me this? I thought we were talking about truth. Sometimes we think we've left those silly pursuits of childhood behind. But as an adult, you look back and you look at yourself and you consider yourself and you evaluate last year and you say, am I still chasing butterflies in the morning? Am I still chasing bubbles in the afternoon and fireflies in the evening? Last year we said, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And if you are committed, the secret of living is bearing fruit. And if you live according to your God-given purpose, remember that story about my dog Max? Anybody remember? Anybody here last year with me? How he was born to swim. He was a black Labrador retriever and he had no greater joy than getting into a lake or into a river, and he would die swimming if he could. He, all of his energy, all of his joy, he just came alive. This dog, when he saw the water, he because he was doing what he was born, what he was created to do. If you know about black labs, they have those webbed paws for swimming. God created them and designed them to be water dogs. And when he was doing that, he was never more happy. And we talked about that. When you, as a believer in Christ Jesus, when you do what God designed you to do, when you find that thing, that meaning and purpose, you will have joy, complete, filling joy. And how many of you had that this year, past year? You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I still am miserable. I still feel, I mean, we committed our whole year as a church to find the meaning of life, and it started so good, and I was so excited about finding my meaning and purpose, and here at the end of the year, I feel empty. And I look at my life, and I consider not just the past year, but the totality of my life. I turned 50 this year, and I look back at my life, and I say, what have I truly accomplished of meaning, and do I truly have joy? Why is it that many of us today, as we look and evaluate the past year, find ourselves in a place that we say, I am not happy. I do not have joy. I still struggle with anxiety and fear and depression, and I'm frustrated. I don't even know why I'm frustrated. I'm so tired. Oh, so tired. Why is it? It's because we are chasing butterflies in the morning, bubbles in the afternoon, and lightning bugs in the evening. We're chasing after, we're pursuing the wrong things. Every day, every decision you make, every question that you ask and seek an answer to is a pursuit of meaning and purpose. Every day, all of us, consciously and subconsciously, are searching for meaning, purpose, and fulfillment in life. That's why when you get out of bed in the morning, some of you stumble, like myself, to get a cup of coffee. It is a search. Did you realize that simple stumbling out of bed, downstairs, to the kitchen or wherever, to grab that cup of coffee, do you realize ultimately it is a search of meaning and purpose and fulfillment, the simple joys of life? And some of you go to work, or you work to play and to get home, or you go to the gym, or what you eat, whether it's, you know, a 2,500 calorie meal, or it is a 10 calorie rice cake kale lunch. Ultimately, what you choose for lunch and dinner, what you choose to do with your energy, what books you choose to read, what television shows you choose to watch, all these things are essentially a search for meaning and purpose and fulfillment. Every one of us attempts to do this, and when we grab a hold of them and we capture those things that we pursued throughout the day and throughout life that will give us meaning, fulfillment, and purpose, and we finally grasp a hold of them, they just do not satisfy. For the vast majority of people through their lifetime, the vast majority of people, even Christians, during the day, that search for meaning and purpose and fulfillment does not satisfy. And you say, why? It is because you are chasing the wrong thing. Chasing butterflies represents chasing something you just can't catch, that distracts you and grabs your attention with all its glory and beauty, and you chase after, and just when you think you're about to grasp it, it flutters away. It seems so delicate and easy and tempting to catch. They don't move that fast. They don't appear. They don't stay in the air that long. They just eventually land where I can get over there 20 feet. That's all it is. So I can race to 20, and then another 20 feet. Chasing butterflies represents the pursuits we make in life that we never can seem to grasp. Chasing bubbles is the pursuits that we grasp, but they burst as soon as we touch them. The things that we easily, they just float in front of us, and we reach out to grab them, and as soon as we get them in our hands, they're gone. And chasing fireflies represents the things that we grasp and we hold on to, and they seem to give us satisfaction, and it seems to work, and we collect them, and it gives us just this little light, and we think we've got it, and within a few hours or a few days or a few years, it fades away. It never quite accomplishes what we think it's going to accomplish. You say, what are we talking about, Pastor? What I'm talking about is truth. What I'm talking about is truth. There is nothing more powerful, there is nothing more important that God has given us than the truth. And if you live your life according to foolish or childish pursuits, you will never find meaning, you will never find purpose, because that which you are chasing is ultimately a lie. It's not something of substance and truth grounded in a pursuit of holiness and of Christ. And even if you grasp it, it will not last. It will either be something you will never be able to catch. You can spend your whole life chasing it, and you will never grab it. Or if you finally obtain it, immediately it will vanish in front of your eyes, just to be replaced by something else as hollow and shallow and fragile. Or you'll grab something and it'll seem to be the answer to get you through the dark night, and in the morning or in a few short days, even as twilight fades into darkness, it is dead. And the world and all of us are all committed to chasing something, and ultimately it is meaning and purpose and fulfillment. But if you are chasing the lie, you will never be satisfied. If you are chasing the lie, that which is not, its source is not the Word of God and the person of Jesus Christ, a gift from the very Father, the creator of the universe. If you are pursuing something apart from the truth, then that pursuit will leave you empty. And so as I look back at my last year, as I look back, I can evaluate each day based on this purpose. Was I living according to the truth, or was I living in pursuit of the lie? And if you want to, and you can tell whether you were doing that or not very easily. If you have joy, if you have satisfaction, then you have been living your life according to the truth. And if not, then you are living your life according to the lie. People find meaning in all kinds of places all day long in all kinds of pursuits, but ultimately they cannot deliver and they will not satisfy. It is only the person of Jesus Christ who can give you something that will last and fill you and fill your hunger and quench your thirst. It's what Jesus was trying to explain to the woman at the well who he met in John chapter 4, where he says, he offers her this water. He says, everyone, in John chapter 4, verse 13, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. He's talking about natural water. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. And the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. If you are still hungry, if you are still thirsty, if you are not satisfied, it is because you are drinking from the wrong well. When we commit our way to the Lord, when we commit our pursuit to pursue knowing Christ and pursue knowing him through his word, then we will find joy. And this is what we spoke of last year when we began our series. John chapter 15, Jesus makes this statement connected to this idea of bearing fruit. And he says, when you bear fruit, and we talked about the many, five different secrets of living, but he says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Not just joy, but joy to the full. It overflows. It's this idea, even that springing up as a well, it's kind of like you got so much joy, it just spills out of you. David describes it in the Psalms as he says, my cup overflows. It's like God is just filling me with so much grace and mercy and joy and peace and satisfaction that it just spills out of me. My cup overflows. I have joy to the full. God has given us these words. These words I have spoken so that my joy may be in you and you have joy to the full. Let me give you a strict warning last year when we talked about that verse. I warned you. I said, I have the secret of living. I have the secret of life. And if you grab a hold of this secret of living, you will have meaning, purpose, fulfillment, and joy. And you're all like, sign me up, Pastor. Right? And so, but I warned you at the beginning of the year. I said, if you pursue joy, you will not find it. If it's like one of those butterflies, if you are pursuing joy, meaning, and purpose, you will not find it. Your pursuit is not for meaning, joy, and purpose. And if you are listening to this series even this year and you're hoping to find meaning and purpose and fulfillment, I'm going to tell you, spoiler alert, you will not find what you are looking for, because joy, meaning, and purpose is a byproduct of a different pursuit. The pursuit of meaning, purpose, and fulfillment always ends in disaster. It's chasing a butterfly, a bubble, or a lightning bug. It is the pursuit of knowing Christ, the person of Christ, and holiness in his word that will bring you satisfaction. This year, we are committing ourselves to knowing the truth. and allowing the truth of God's word to separate us, to set us apart from our culture that is lost. You look at all the statistics about depression and suicide and anxiety and just confusion and a lack of meaning and purpose. Everything is just skyrocketing. It seems like every year it's just exponential growth, and more people are falling into depression and saying, I have no meaning, I have no purpose. And they just, but you and I, what is going to separate us as the world gets darker and darker and it finds that everything it is pursuing does not satisfy, you and I will be separated from that. We will stand out because we are committed to the very truth, the very word of God. It is what will separate us. You see, Jesus promised, he said, you will know the truth and this truth will set you free. I'm asking you to commit yourself to the very word of God, to God's truth. We all talk about, oh, it's my truth, your truth. No, there is one truth, the truth in God's word. I want you to commit your life this year to the word of God. Allow it to guide you and guard you and grow you. And whatever is dragging you down today, whatever is robbing you of joy, meaning, purpose, and fulfillment, if you commit your way to the Lord, guess what? You will find satisfaction. You will find freedom in the person of Jesus Christ. You will find freedom, the answer to what you are looking for, the answer to what you are chasing, the answer to every question of the day, the end of the road of every pursuit. That apart from Christ is death, but the end of the road of the pursuit of Christ is life. Sanctify them. John 17:17. Sanctify them. Set them apart. And in our prayers at church, Lord, let us be set apart. Help us to be holy, set apart from sin this year. But Lord, not only just set apart from sin, Lord, set us apart to your work, your purpose, so that, as we said even last year, that the Father may be glorified. It is not about my personal satisfaction. It is about the glorification of the name that is above every name. Let my life be about the name of God and the person of Jesus Christ and not to make my own name. At the end of the day, my question is, God, were you satisfied with how I lived? Not was I satisfied. John chapter 17, verse 13, and we're going to be going through John chapter 17 as God allows us to, and I think next week we're going to try to tackle the first five verses. But again, it's very similar to last year's theme, and they're very connected, is this idea. Look at, just as we saw in John chapter 15, verse 11, committing your way to the pursuit of the meaning of life and the end result of that and that teaching in John chapter 15 was joy. Look at John chapter 17, verse 13. Again, the end result of this year's commitment to truth is the same. It says, these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Joy to the full, satisfaction, filling, peace. And again, we can't just pursue filling or satisfaction. The pursuit, if you begin to chase that, the search for joy and fulfillment and peace is that butterfly that distracts you. Understand, you are not chasing joy. You are chasing, you are following, you are pursuing holiness in Christ and his word. Ultimately, the question this year will be, are you committed to the truth? Are you living according to the lie? See, there are only two paths. One leads to destruction and the other leads to life. Before we look at communion, I want us to consider just a few things. And again, this is really just an introduction to our series in John chapter 17. We'll be going verse by verse through that, but I want us to consider this whole theme together and give us some cultural perspective, context. One of the questions that we have is, why do people reject the truth in exchange for the lie? Why did you end up here? We started so well last year saying, I am going to find meaning and purpose. I'm committing myself to obedience, to knowing God. Why am I here still empty and hungry and thirsty and so tired? Oh, Pastor, so very tired. One of the reasons people exchange the truth for a lie is because of fear. Ultimately, you have to say, what am I afraid of? Isaiah 57:11 says, whom did you dread and fear so that you lied and did not remember me, did not lay it to heart? Verse 13, when I cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. The wind will carry them all off. A breath will take them away, but he who takes refuge in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. You can see all those imagery of those butterflies and bubbles and lightning bugs in Isaiah's discourse here. And ultimately, Isaiah and really God through the prophet Isaiah is saying the reason you are not satisfied, the reason you are chasing the wind today is because of fear. You did not fear me. You feared something else. You think about choosing to lie. Why do we lie? What is the biggest motivation for lying? It is fear. And in order, you have to believe a lie. You have to believe that the lie will deliver you, set you free, protect you. So you've been deceived. Because the truth is the lie leads to death. It is only the truth that sets you free. And when we commit ourselves to the very word of God and to the truth, we are saying, I have nothing to fear. It is the truth that will set me free. It is trusting in the truth. It is the lie that will bind me and break me and abuse me. It is the truth that will set me free. And some of us did not choose to follow and pursue Christ and find meaning and purpose in him because of fear. But we did not trust that it is salvation and peace in the person of Jesus Christ and his law and in his righteousness and in the truth. Some of us did not live by the truth. Some of us did not find meaning, purpose, and fulfillment and joy because of fear. Some of us did not find meaning and purpose because we were fooled. And the question to this is, what do we follow? 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, the coming of lawlessness of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, who with all power and false signs and wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth so that they and be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And many of us are fooled. We've been deceived. Another reason is because we've been worshiping the wrong thing. You worshiped the wrong thing. Instead of worshiping the Creator last year, you are not satisfied. It's because you put your faith in the wrong thing. Romans 1:25 says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And one of the reasons our culture and our Christian culture is not satisfied in the person of Jesus Christ, even though we say we are worshiping God, we are worshiping a false god, a false idol. And this year, if we are committed to the truth, we are committed to rooting out false idols. Lies, where things that we have followed and things that we fear, and living by faith and worshiping the Creator alone. And then finally, maybe it's because you are not a Christian. Maybe you are not satisfied because you do not know Christ, and it's a matter of paternity and a question of who is your father. It's a matter of fatherhood. And sometimes you are not satisfied because you are not a child, a true child of God. In fact, Jesus says that all men are either a child of God the Father or a child of the devil. And he confronts the religious people of his day in John 8:44, and he says, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is the father of lies. And there's a potential that you are not a true believer in Jesus Christ, and you've not found satisfaction because you are not a child of God. You have not come to faith in Jesus Christ. And the reason you pursue the wrong things is because you are living according to the flesh and your own selfish, sinful desires that do not lead to Christ, do not lead to the Father's house, but lead to death. Well, there's an answer in God's word. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom." We are encouraged in his word to fear God rather than man. And we find in Matthew 16, there's an answer to our fear. There's an answer to what we follow. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16, "If anyone come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And whosoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Just as some exchange the truth of God for the lie and exchange the creator for the creature, we as Christians exchange the creation for the creator. We worship the creator. This is the call of those who follow God out of bondage. In Exodus 20, verse 3, from the Ten Commandments, as we renounce the idols of the heart, we are called to have no other gods before him. And finally, we are called to come to the Father in John chapter 14, where Jesus says in verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, to the and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." This year, our commitment as a church is to pursue the truth. Come out of the shadows, come out of fear, and say, "I am ultimately My life this year is going to be committed to walk in the truth and live by the truth, and I'm committing, that is going to be the theme of my heart, is I cannot know Christ if I do not live according to the truth."